go.
Where are you, man?
Genius billionaire playboy philanthropist.
We have a knight!
Uh-huh.
Nerd!
Hold on to your butts.
And now for something completely different.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Knights of Nerditude podcast. My name is Chris Wilcox. I'm here along with
John,
Sam,
and Sean.
And this is a podcast for all things nerd. And on tonight's episode, we are going to talk about The Walking Dead season premiere, American Horror Story, Westworld, and I finished The Martian. Finally saw it, and we can discuss a few things because I have a few comments on that. And then one big thing that happened in the news today. We'll talk about that later. And then Sean has a list for us at the end of the episode.
Yeah.
So if you want to follow us online and listen to all our other episodes, you can find us on Podbean or iTunes. You can also see all of our past episodes on Facebook, facebook.com/Knights of Nerditude, and our website. I updated the website with all our episodes. And comic book reviews as well. Those are at www.knightsofnerditude.com. So let's start off with the big thing that happened. It is Wednesday. Walking Dead premiered. Season 7 premiere. Sunday night, 9 o'clock. We finally found out who Negan killed. It was a spectacular episode. I'm the only one who watched it.
Yeah, well, I watched the killing.
You watched...
I watched Who Died.
So we're gonna spoil it if you haven't seen the episode, which why haven't you? We're gonna spoil this episode, or I'm gonna spoil it at least because I'm the only one who really saw the whole thing.
It was a sled.
Damn.
So
it was
a fantastic episode, top five all time, and it was a sequel to the... It took place right after season 6, season finale.
Well, yeah, it led right into it.
Yeah, it did. So in the beginning...
They hinted to that
in
somehow,
the beginning, Rick... Know. Rick, you don't see who dies in the beginning, but Negan takes Rick, who is clearly upset, off on this little road trip, and then he has a test for him. He's trying to break Rick down in order for him to work for Negan. And you don't see who really dies until 20 minutes in or something like that. So, that said, 20 minutes in, Negan's doing his eeny, meeny, miny, moe, and then all of a sudden, he lands on Abraham. And that sucks because Abraham was my favorite character on the show, and he took it like a man, and was kneeling up the whole time, and then... got one last word in, suck my nuts to Negan, and then he pretty much got his head bashed in completely. And then after that, everybody was in shock, obviously. Rosita and Sasha were upset because they were hooking up with him. And then Daryl decided to stand up and punch Negan. So they wrestled Daryl to the ground, put him back in the line, and as Negan is facing Rick talking to everybody else, he immediately turns around and bashes Glenn's head in.
Yep.
So Glenn also goes, and that was a little bit of a shocker to everybody because it was very sudden, and after he hit Glenn, I think twice in the head, Glenn was able to sit up and look over at Maggie. His head is bashed in, and his eyeball is popping out.
Yeah.
And that is exactly like the comic. Exactly like the comic.
Now, here's one thing about that scene that I guess a lot of people have felt. I watch it. Glenn's death is very comical in a way. Like, a lot of people laughed at it. Thought it was, like, the eyeball was hysterical.
I wouldn't say a lot. I'd say more people were upset.
No, but if you go online and read the reviews, a lot of people were saying, I laughed. They had a live audience watch it. They were actually chuckling at it.
You have to dig for those types of reviews. Overall, the reviews were very upsetting.
Oh, no, the reviews, everybody said they absolutely loved this episode. But they said for that scene, it was kind of comical in a way.
No, it was, you had to,
replay was just in bad taste.
Boom, boom, boom.
It was really meant for, it was disgusting, it was gross, and it was meant to get a last word into Maggie. I'll find you anywhere or anytime or something like that. Like, you couldn't really hear him, but it was an homage to the comic itself. So if you read the comics, it was meant for the readers.
Yeah.
And it was effective because it was very emotional. And if you had any attachment to Glenn whatsoever, I'm surprised if you're still going to watch the show, because that was a gruesome, gruesome death for both Abraham and Glenn.
I was happy to see Glenn go, because I liked him in the first season and a half where he was just an errand boy. And then when he finally meets Maggie and they start hooking up, she's like, you know, you could run this. And he's like, you know what? I could. And then he became an ass the rest of the time. Like basically he's in a place where he shouldn't be. Like, no, you're not with Rick. No, you're not with Daryl. You're like, yeah, you're part of the original crew, but you're not one of the leaders like them. And that's not your spot in this crew. He was an errand boy basically. And I loved him as that character. And once he stepped up into that leader role, I was like, no, I'm done with this character.
So you're okay with him, you know, no, I don't want to do this.
Yes, you do.
No,
give in.
No, Sean, I never really felt that. I mean, like, I didn't, you know, I watched Walking Dead through, I want to say, 3, maybe 4 seasons, and I don't know, he never really seemed, the character was definitely different when Maggie showed up,
and
that whole thing started happening.
The thing is, you have to understand that the original crew has been, it's thinned out so much you have to get a leadership role in there because you're adding so many new characters who are quote unquote lost.
Yeah.
So you need somebody to step up, and Rick was on and off his hinges through the past 3 seasons. So you needed somebody. There was no Shane. Carol was exiled for a little while, and then she was also nuts for another part of it. So there's that. And then you had a few of the other guys get killed off. Herschel was killed off, and he was the logical one.
Yeah,
so it's
so pissed about that.
It was the natural progression of things, because Daryl is just a badass, and
he's a lone wolf.
He's not in the books, so he has anyway. You can do anything with him.
Yeah.
All right, but either way, moving on from that. So, and in the end, Negan bends over to Rick, and he's like, "I don't have that look. I want this look, particular look, and I need to get that from you." Of respect, because he's breaking Rick down piece by piece. And then all of a sudden he says, he brings Carl over, gets a pen, draws a Sharpie line on his kid's forearm, and he says, no, don't do it. Or Rick saying to Negan, don't do it, don't do it. He's like, no, I'm not doing it. You're doing it. So he gives him the axe, and then he's going to make him cut Carl's arm off.
Right.
And in the end, he stopped him because Rick is just a broken man at this point. Like, snot,
that
and tears,
the CGI
and everything.
Budget would be too much.
No, they don't use a lot of CGI in that show.
I know, but if they cut his arm off like they do in the comics, you have to have a one-armed Carl for the rest of the entire show.
Yes.
So, yes, the reason why they stopped him is because the CGI, him walking around with a green arm for the rest. No, I guarantee.
That's not the case.
But didn't Merle have like
not reason why he stopped, because
guarantee you.
Merle had a cut-off arm. Herschel had a cut-off leg.
How long was Merle in there?
He was in there for 2 seasons. Yeah. Oh, no, one season and then he came back.
Right?
Yeah, he came back.
Yeah. He had a machete.
Okay,
arm.
So Herschel also had his leg cut off, and that was for a season.
Both of those are so much easier to do than somebody's arm.
That's not... Okay, here's the thing. That's not the reason why he did it.
I don't think it's really that hard, Sean. You just put green screen on it.
You wrap his wrist in a green glove.
It's the budget.
That's not the budget.
No, but
I swear to God, you were completely wrong on this.
I really don't think that's... Yeah, but I don't think that's that complex to do in 2016.
That's not the point.
Like they take stuff out of everything. They take like power lines that have nothing to do with shots. They just take shit right out. And that's all like background shit they do that like you would never notice,
right, but
or really don't necessarily need either.
Okay, well,
here's the thing.
Way.
The reason it's not the reason why they did it. It's not the budget or whatever the hell it is. Spoiler alert, if you haven't read the comics, Rick is the one who loses the arm.
Well, yeah, because
it's not budgetary reasons.
Yeah,
this is the way the comic is going, and everybody was thinking, oh, they're gonna do. Well, the book readers are saying, oh, he's gonna do it to Carl, but doesn't do it. Okay, so maybe this is back towards the comic. That's the point. but it might be foreshadowing, obviously. But who knows? Yeah. Who knows? Who knows? But either way, and then, you know, Rick's broken down, and then they go back. Negan takes Daryl and takes him off wherever he goes. So the whole group is broken at this point, and they're just trying to pick up the pieces. So here's my issue, and I said this again in an earlier episode. This should have been the last episode of season six.
Yeah, this a lot of people
should have been it, because AMC, or not AMC, but the producers, I guess, and AMC sold the fuck out and wanted to pick up the ratings, and they still didn't break their record for season premieres. They wanted to save it and get the ratings, and they didn't get it. Well, they did. They got huge, well, yeah, huge, they got huge ratings and stuff like that. But this should have been the last episode of last season, because I am more excited as to what's going to happen now.
Yeah, like, didn't having a cliffhanger, like the Who Died cliffhanger, it just seems desperate, you know?
Mm-hmm. Seems like very...
it's not only been done before, but it's a very, like, you know, sweeps week kind of thing of, like, literally just doing it to, you know, like, I mean, there's plenty of season finales that happen. You're like, well, where the fuck, like, a lot of stuff happens, and you're like, well, where the hell does the show go from here? Yep. And then it's like, it's interesting, you're really excited, you're on edge, you want to see the next episode, but it's not like cheesy, like, oh, who does he kill? He's killed this one. And it's like, AMC yesterday, like, released an alternate ending where someone else dies.
Yeah, where Maggie dies.
And I'm like, I heard Daryl.
Oh, you heard?
I refuse to watch it, because I don't, who the fuck cares? No, that's not the show.
I read an article today, they had the video and everything of, like, Maggie dying.
I'm sure they filmed a few. I think I read on one of the Walking Dead sites that they actually filmed like five or six, and then they didn't actually choose which ones until, you know, obviously editing. But
there's no way
they made that choice at the beginning. Well, I guess they probably filmed that sequence last year, or at the end of the previous season.
There's no way. I, as a director, and looking at the quality of acting that you got in that last episode and in the one that just happened Sunday, you don't want to break that up. I'm not a director or anything, but somebody who would have been on set looking at the amount of emotion pouring through these cast members, I would have just said, fuck it, let's finish off the episode now. And just the next season, let's just do it, because this is great. They did a really good job with it, I think. Mm. I think it was great acting. It's not the best I've seen, but it was pretty fucking good for a TV show.
These actors have been playing these same characters for what, like
seven, eight years?
But you've never seen
them. Hopefully they got it down by now.
Well, here's the thing. Of all the seasons, you've never seen them this helpless. Helpless. There's no out. There was no out whatsoever for any one of these characters. Whereas typically there would be for against the governor or... I forgot the other Terminus, things like that. Yeah. You know, there was never any out.
It seems like it's the same song over and over again, and then it just gets louder over time, and it's like, after a while, it's like, I don't know.
It seems
like there's not one song, one note, as they say.
No, you're right. You're right.
I'm in the same boat as you, John. Like I said, the episode, the season of, like, when they showed, like, them escaping from Terminus, I lasted through half that season and gave up.
Yeah.
I couldn't do it anymore.
Terminus didn't last too long.
Because the whole...
weren't even dead anymore.
It was the whole half a season leading up to Terminus was them walking.
Yeah.
And then the last episode, they finally get there, they get captured, and then the first episode of the next season, they escape from Terminus, and they're walking again. So it's another half a season of them walking.
But the thing I don't like, and that's a valid point. You're right.
It just
overall, when you're looking at it, it gets a little redundant. But I like it. I don't want them to fall into the trap where people are the worst over the dead.
Humans are the real monsters.
You're exactly right. Yeah, you've been saying
it's the same theme every season.
What, but Sam,
the
thing, where are you getting this from? I haven't heard this anywhere.
The thing is, we haven't run across. I want them to go back to zombies, because we have never actually had... We've had hordes and stuff, and hordes like Conk take over Alexandria and break in.
This is the issue of having these long seasons like this. It's only 12 or 13 episodes.
Well, but they do these half seasons.
Yeah, they do half
seasons. This is such a weird fucking show.
Yeah.
Just the way it's done, it's so highly rated, and yet it seems like everybody who watches it fucking hates it.
No, I love it.
Not
I
hates
love
it. It's not that they hate it. They all have the same thing. Oh, it's slow in a lot of parts, but when it like when it picks up, oh, it's amazing. You mean the last episode? Yeah.
No, here's what I said before last week. It's with Game of Thrones, you have 8 or 9 awesome episodes out of 10.
Right. And then
Walking Dead is 6 or 7 out of 13.
Not even that. It's like the first episode.
Well, it depends what you like.
Yeah, the mid-season, like, then the the beginning of the mid-season, and then the last episode.
This is four definite
episodes.
There's like 4 or 5 good like every set piece episodes where something happens.
You're right, but that's what I'm saying though. There's only half the episodes are good. And again, depends what you like. One of my favorite episodes is the slowest, one of the slowest ones with Abraham and his the guy who taught him how to use the bow. The bow. What the hell is it? The staff.
Oh.
That's one of my favorite episodes, but jack shit happens.
I don't know, though. I mean, here's the thing, though. The difference between, like, Game of Thrones and, like, The Walking Dead. Like, if there's a down episode of The Walking Dead, Game of Thrones, where, you know, nothing really happens, at least, like, you kind of want to hang around in the world with, like, Tyrion and, like, Littlefinger and the guy without balls, you know? Like, I mean...
That's true.
Guy without balls.
You just... I guess
The Walking Dead, though, it's a little bit different. Like, do you really want to see fucking Carl go off and, I don't know, learn how to fish or whatever? Like,
you're right, and I see where some people would be turned off by that, and... That's fine. It's personal preference. It's just I love this show.
Yeah.
I love this show.
I feel like a lot of people, it's almost like Stockholm Syndrome with a lot of people where they're like, they've been doing it since the beginning. They're like, so I love this show. But there's some good episodes. I swear. They're good sometimes.
They're in an abusive relationship.
Right, with The Walking Dead. Well, because it's the transition from the comic to this. Dark.
Are the comics still being written?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is a story.
So there's
no
of,
definite. There's no.
It has
signs of stopping anytime soon.
Right. No, the comic books are still a hit.
When did like how? I guess let me put it this way. Do we know at all when the show started? Like how far in the comics
they were? Pretty far.
Okay.
Right now,
episode issue I think 100 came out. Season 2, I
something
think?
Like that.
Something.
It's
weird.
Has issue 100 happened yet in the show?
That was Glenn.
Yeah.
That Glenn getting killed?
I believe so. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. All right.
But the two plots are like intertwined, and like things happen that don't happen in the show.
So there's
like,
enough. Okay.
Well, there's tons of material. It's just it's how they've been able to put it on the screen. It's just they've slowed things down, kind of. Yeah. And that's been the issue. Whereas, in the comic books, if they like, let's say they were traveling to Terminus, there'd be an issue. Like there'd be one issue of them traveling to Terminus. Whereas, in the show, it's half a season. Because they have to follow every character, and then that whole season, the half season, they followed each small group, and they had to do character development for each group.
Well, they had the time.
But here's
to do that.
The problem with doing that is most of them are dead.
That's valid because the girl with Daryl.
What was the point of any of it if they're all gonna die?
I don't know, but that death caught me off guard. That one hit me hard.
I agree. Was it Emily Kenney?
Yeah,
her death. Maggie's sister. That death was shocking. That was basically right after I gave up on the show.
Yeah, and then
I was like,
Noah out of that, and then he gets killed.
Right.
So I don't.
There's so much character development.
I'd say that was one of the worst
for character
seasons.
Developments that shouldn't happen. Like, I'm very interested in Rick's state of mind. And how he's going to come out of it and actually become the leader that they need. And the problem is, it seems like the last 3 seasons, he's just broken. And they're not really focusing on it.
This season, he's broken. Last
few, he picked it up.
Well, he broke at some point, but he easily got back.
I feel like he's breaking and then coming back and then breaking.
He hasn't broke to this point yet. But I don't want to dwell on this because we're going long on this. I'm the only one, pretty much.
So,
prediction for... Prediction, bold prediction from me because I watch it all the time. Maggie becomes the new Rick, and Rick just falls into obscurity for a season.
That would actually be interesting.
And then see what happens.
Yeah. I mean, Rick isn't going to die. There's no chance.
No, because the book is about him.
Exactly.
That's what it is.
So everybody who's saying Rick's going to die is not going to happen.
All right. So let's move on from Walking Dead. We're going to go get into some Westworld. John, go ahead.
All right. So we're going here from a show where the people are the real monsters to a show where the people are the real monsters. Let's see. So what happened? So this week, this is... I know I keep saying this like, oh, they're really peeling the onion back now. A lot of stuff happening this week. So we've got...
They're peeling the onion back.
Let's start with what was probably like one of the larger ones where Maeve having...
Maeve.
Are you sure? Maeve. I thought it was a... Okay. Maybe it's a V. Maybe it's a B.
Either way. The head mistress.
The head hooker.
Right. She's having a bad time, man. She's stuck in the loop and thinks she got shot in a previous whatever, had like a flashback of her getting shot, and then she's looking for the bullets and seeing she sees the keepers, or I don't know, what do you call those guys? The staff.
She's having visions of the guy in the suit.
Yeah.
Or dreams.
Dream.
Kind of. And she's like drawing them.
Drawing them.
And then seeing, which was to me my favorite scene of the episode, of when she goes and she draws the guys in the mask that she sees whenever she thinks she dies. And then
she opens up the bottom of the floor.
And there's a shitload of them.
And then she probably, because she doesn't even realize it, but she's reliving it over and over again.
Because all they are, they're just programmed to react a certain way. So if the same thing keeps happening, they're going to do the same exact thing.
Yeah. That was sick. Yeah. And then she made the robber guy
cut her open and pull a bullet out of her.
And so now she knows.
Now she shit's going down.
Now she knows, but she did.
Right.
Again.
Again, yeah.
That's the best thing about the show. When you say, oh, so-and-so died, it's like, again? Yeah. Like, oh, well. Like,
did it really matter? And then, let's see, what else we got going on?
The Black Hat.
Ed Harris. The Man in Black, which we're really starting, first time we ever, like, really, you know, like I said, before it's kind of been like, oh, he rides around, he shoots people, has seemingly, like, impunity. This week we actually kind of start to know a little bit about who he is and more of his, like, motivations and stuff like this. So he links up essentially with the outlaws, with the main like outlaws gang, who is like Sans Outlaw because he's now in jail. What's his name? Hector.
Yeah.
So he meets up with the gang and he goes meets the woman who has the snake tattoo, and it's, you know, him trying to follow or him, you know, they said the prophecy was, you know, find the where the snake meets the river or something like that. And how would you know it? She's there washing in the river. So, you know, Ed Harris meets up with them, shoots a couple people just because that's just how the show is. The one interesting thing with him, though, this week is that you first, you know, there's a lot of theories of like who he is. Is he Arnold or whoever? And you kind of understand now, no, he isn't. In fact, these two people who are in the gang, two actual players, I guess I'll just call them, of actual, you know, humans, are in the gang with them, and they come up to him and they're like, oh, man, we love what you do with your foundation, you know, all that. And he's like, I'm on fucking vacation. Don't talk to me.
Yeah, right.
That's
going to be interesting, because I thought he was Arnold. Or that was my prediction.
I thought he's looking, Arnold, or maybe a robot or something like that. But no, he's clearly a guy.
But he's looking for Arnold, looks like.
Yeah, it looks like that is like the end game.
Yeah, and
for
it's,
him, yeah.
At least I think, I don't know if it's the kind of thing where this thing with Arnold is like the first season plot or if it's the show. I don't know. It's tough to tell. Like, you kind of knew with like Game of Thrones, like the whole White Walker thing was probably going to come up at some point, but like that wasn't the immediate sort
of... Oh, yeah, it was the master story, not the individual season.
Like, it's still kind of unclear, and we'll get to this a little bit later, but like what the stakes actually are. So that was the thing with Ed Harris. So then he breaks the guy out of prison. You kind of do get this cool cutaway scene where in the control room where they're like, oh, we need a pyrotechnic charge here. And you just kind of see the more X's and O's sort of behind it of how the actual inner workings work.
Yeah. And then Anthony Hopkins is flexing his muscles.
Yeah, fucking seeming like a very, you know, there's been a lot of back and forth of like, oh, is Anthony Hopkins a good dude or a bad dude? Yeah. Definitely checking the bad dude box or dude
just box. The whole dinner, like that whole or lunch or whatever scene where like all of a sudden just everything stops.
His like, God complex.
I'm
really
in control, not you like money people. So I'll tell you once nicely, stay out of my way.
Yeah, and not the first time this has ever been brought up, but like very like Matrix-y kind of like literally like, yeah. You know, he's got like he can do whatever the fuck he wants here. Because
he comes out and says
that.
He says we're gods.
The gods here. Yeah.
Like
except he can control people with his finger.
Yeah.
I don't think other humans can do that.
He's the guy in charge.
Tough talking the shit out of the boss lady there. Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Then the other interesting thing. So I rewatched part of the episode today, and I guess thing I didn't catch. So William and his bro are out there, and they say this line about how like they have like stock in it or something like that into Westworld into the company.
The company and then family.
And
then,
like his family always means business or some shit like that.
Yeah, and Will was like, I thought, or is it Will? Yeah.
Yeah, Will.
William.
Yeah, he's like, I thought this was a family thing. And that's when he said, business is family. Or
right.
Family is business or whatever.
Some stupid line like that.
I bet
you
he's just an investor.
Yeah, but the fact that family was brought up before like business makes me think that maybe like he's marrying into the family or something like
that. Well, I think that's what it is. Is that have they talked about it? How like it's his like maybe this is just I kind of like confuse things I just see online. But one of the things I had heard was that it's like he's marrying the other guy. Yeah, I think they say this on the show. He's marrying the other guy's sister.
They never mention that, but he does.
Do they?
Like,
okay.
When the first hostess lady in the dressing room like starts coming on to him,
right.
He's like, no, I have someone at home.
Okay. So, all right, so maybe that wasn't it.
Yeah.
But what was I going to say? So one interesting thing I'm kind of finding about this show, obviously, you know, part of the attraction here is, like I said, it's a great show. Just like very, you know, each episode there's always like a gunfight. There's always something going on, and obviously on the second end there's this giant mystery. We still barely understand the world we're in here. But is there like a reason we fucking care about the mystery? Like, you go back to like Lost or something like that. Like they were lost on the island, and you kind of wanted to see them get out or like figure out like what the hell was going on. Because it was seemingly like life or death. Like, what's your stakes here? That there's like a corporation that might have ulterior motives? Like, how ulterior could they be?
I don't know who to root for. Is that
like who's your hero kind of thing? Like,
I don't know where to.
I'm more invested in Ed Harris's character.
Yeah.
See, I'm more invested in Dolores.
Like Ed Harris seems less of a straight up evil dude more than just some guy who's bored. Yeah. Not that I don't
know. Well, here's the thing,
not that
though.
Ethically, it really matters. They're all robots.
He goes on his whole speech about Arnold.
Right.
And how there's one thing you can't do in this place, and that's die. And Arnold found a way. So I'm wondering if that's what he's looking for, a way to die in the park kind of thing.
Or immortality.
Or immortality. Either or. So, like, I feel like that's where his story is going, and that intrigues me more than anything else.
Yeah, and then there's that
the robots are glitching. Okay.
Right.
Like,
and we kind of know, like, I think people know what Westworld is. Like,
actually,
they know
thinking
what's
of that,
happen.
Maybe the leader of the robot uprising is Anthony Hopkins.
Well, he is starting his whole, like, new thing, and that, like, big-ass machine.
Oh, that's scary.
He can control the robots, but he can also, he was the one who input the code to make them, like,
remember
past lives.
Does it seem odd, by the way, that the day workers, like, when they go to the thing, like, they're all dressed up like they're in the West?
Yeah.
Like, dressed like they're anything.
Doing, like, the pickaxes, you know?
Can dress like they're anything.
Yeah, and they're dressed, and they're just going,
I haven't seen a second of the show. But
sure.
You got to
God damn it.
It's the best because you can watch them all in a row.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I know. But you mentioned something about, like, Ed Harris, and just hearing from it, you think the reason why he's being such, like, an ass to all the robots and stuff is that he's trying to have them kill him?
No.
No,
because
he straight up looks at them and goes, "You're not going to hurt me." And he's been shot by them multiple times. And it's just kind of like a paintball.
Like, I think he's, like I said, I think he's bored more than anything else. Right. Like, he's looking for the one last like adventure in the show.
The cool thing though is when he meets the woman with the snake tattoo, he apologizes to her for never meeting her before.
Yeah.
So like he's been doing this for a long time. He knows everyone in the park.
It's a long fucking vacation.
Like I think he's got a shirt at home that says like number one fan, like Westworld number one fan.
At this point, I probably don't think he has a home. He's been in there for so long.
He just lives there.
Yeah. I mean, that'd be legit. $40K a day. I mean,
that's like another one of those questions. Like, if you had enough money, would you just fucking live there?
Probably.
Like,
seems like fun. You can't die.
Interesting.
You can shoot people and you can't die.
If you're on Ed Harris mode, yeah.
Oh, God, yeah. I'd be Ed Harris all day.
What do you got to lose?
Like scalping people and ripping their skulls off? Really?
They're robots.
I'm going to move a little bit further away from Sean right now.
Remember, this show has that best thing about it where you watch it and you go, this is some fucked up shit right here. And then you're like, oh, wait, they're robots. Never mind.
Is that the best thing?
No, but that's awesome because it gets like, well, like when the guy bashed his own head in the last episode, you're like, oh, God, what? Oh, wait, he's a robot. Like, this isn't really hurting him at all. And then you saw him afterwards and he was like still like twitching, but his head was caved in.
I see someone has no empathy for robots.
Nope. Fuck those iRobots.
The other sort of component of this too is I think the very first scene where Bernard is talking to Dolores and telling her that, you know, about this whole maze and that it seems like it's the key, like it's this kind of, you know, like what was it, like in like old like gladiator times, like, you know, you could fight your way to freedom or something like that.
Like the end of the maze is freedom. And he's like, do you want that? Yes. Do you want me to get rid of those bad feelings? No.
What do you think the end of the maze is, the elevator to the complex? Place? Yeah.
That's what I'm possibly thinking. Like,
that's what I'm thinking.
That's what Ed Harris is trying to get to, is the
freedom, like, for the robots. If they find this elevator, they can escape, you know?
Maybe, yeah.
I don't know. That seems a little too, like...
But there's still that glitch. Like, they can't harm living things. But
Dolores.
But Dolores.
She's the only one who's shown that she can.
Yeah.
So far.
You know, it's funny because I think going back to that first episode, I was like, oh, wait, was she lying and is she evil? I don't think she was lying. Like, I don't think she realized, like, she would just fucking kill that fly.
Yeah, I think,
like, I thought it was malicious originally.
It was, like, in reflex.
Yeah,
it was
exactly.
Like, oh, like, that's it. Like,
who knows?
Yeah. But
we don't know yet.
Dude, I'm telling you, dude, Jeffrey Wright's a fucking robot.
Yeah,
1,000%.
After you said that, like, this past episode, I'm kind
of
like...
I thought less of that after this past episode.
Here's one thing that totally threw... So you got that scene between Anthony Hopkins and the boss lady. It was the actress who got to get the name or something, or at least the character.
Anyways.
She's an Inferno. I don't know if you knew that.
Anyways.
Sidebar there. Anyway, so they're, you know, they're at the table and, you know, he's doing this whole thing to kind of like upstage and like show her, like, you know, he sees and knows everything. And when he says something like, do be careful with Bernard, like the way he said it, like it's like the same way that like we'll say, or, you know, like when you're talking with your friends, you give someone like a nickname or something like that. It wasn't like somebody's actual name. It was something that was like contrived.
Yeah, and like it like the way he was talking about Bernard too, like almost like an object.
Yeah.
Like it was weird the way, like that threw me off. And then the whole scene after Bernard and the lady are in bed together and she's leaving, he's like, oh, is that all I'm good for you? And she's like, yeah, basically.
And you notice too,
Teresa,
he fights with people. Or no, sorry. He disagrees with people, but never fights with them.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he'll bring up his objections, but we'll never be like, no, I'm not doing that.
Yeah. Like when, the people came in to investigate the bashed head guy.
Right.
And he was like,
and his assistant's like, why don't you ever stand up for us? And he's like, well, he's a robot. He's not going to. The other thing is he's got glasses and you notice he never looks through them. He's always got the low glasses,
yeah,
like high eyes.
Yeah.
You really go down rabbit holes in Reddit.
No, I'm agreeing with this one. I think he's a robot. Like, the more I watch it, the more I'm like, yeah, he's a robot.
See, I thought less, but who knows? Maybe like next episode I'll think differently.
Yeah,
has to be one robot that we think is a human.
There's definitely, or possibly vice versa.
Yeah.
I don't think there's the other way around.
One robot that we think is
or one.
Oh, no, one human that we think is a robot.
Yeah.
All right, so we done with Westworld for now?
That's all I got, man.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot of, like, there was, like, the core
this
five.
This was definitely a setup.
There was core five.
The one thing, so you do have, obviously, this whole show is about loops and it going over and over again, because you get the scene that was essentially repeated from the first episode. And it's not the first, when they, you know, everybody, the robbers come into town and try to, you know, get the safe in the saloon. And it's funny because it's like you see it again and you would think like you would be like, oh, we've already done this. But I haven't, like, it's funny the way they do it. Like, I haven't been bored with this stuff
yet. It doesn't feel that way.
In the loop. Yeah. It doesn't feel redundant. I'll put it that way.
Yeah.
Even though it is the same thing.
The best I can pull up is when you guys were talking about Preacher, how that guy was stuck in like hell. And he was stuck in like
God, that was awful.
The worst day of his life, that repeating was, over and over again. So compare bad. That. Compare this show to that. Like, which one does the repeat better?
Like,
is it without question.
I know.
Yeah, but that I don't know. That thing with Preacher's like sitting through it was fucking hell. But like once you know what it was, you do kind of appreciate it a little bit. It doesn't necessarily make it any
none
better
whatsoever. But I think it's just over time. We've become numb to it.
Yeah.
So now you're like, saying this, but at the time,
and it's
it
like
was awful.
I'm not gonna watch that episode again.
No,
almost certainly.
It doesn't
not.
Fucking matter because what happens at the end of season one, Preacher?
Yeah.
Everybody dies.
I feel like I can pick right back up on season two.
Oh,
I'll be fine.
That's a vampire Preacher, Preacher's girlfriend.
Oh man,
badass.
News this week, by the way, is one of the guys who writes it died.
Really?
Yeah.
Like the show or the
comic?
Comic.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't remember what his name is off the top of my head, but yeah.
Yeah, I saw that too.
I did not know that. All right.
Not sad,
are we done with Westworld?
Yeah.
Now? Yeah, next
I
week.
I think we're
probably
done with Westworld.
I feel like we're
not
doing Westworld every week.
We're going to do a Preacher. We're going to go through the season again in the off season.
Hell no. That's a lone podcast.
Don't make
for
me
you.
Watch that.
All right, I wanna talk. Not Westworld. American Horror Story.
Yeah.
Episode last Wednesday, right?
Five.
So the last time we spoke about it, it seemed like the whole story was over.
Yeah, and I mentioned that it looked like they were going found footage.
And yeah,
I was like, it feels like they're going found footage here, and guess what they did.
Found footage.
It's all found footage.
But
now.
It's not, well, right now it's not filmed in a bad way. Like it's not gritty
camera,
and stuff but it's
like
good.
That.
It's good quality. They give you a little bit of hidden camera, but they also give you like point of view, character point of view. So it's not. It's not what you think found footage.
Yeah.
But I love where this is going.
Yeah,
I really do.
I'm like, okay, who's gonna survive?
Exactly. Well, we know.
So
everybody. Dies, but one
is this.
How do we know that?
Because they want one of this on one of the sentences. Because they filled in a few sentences during the screens.
Yeah,
it said this footage was found 6 months later. All of the members of all the members in the house died except for one.
So is this a different story or
okay? So what happened was my Roanoke nightmare ends. That's where what episode four was. Everything's wrapped up, blah, blah, blah. This episode picks up with found footage, camera crew following the director, and him basically saying, we want to do, like, it's a year later, my Roanoke nightmare, huge success, like, awards and everything, tons of money coming in. Yeah, no, I
was that like
well,
a wink at like Emmys? Come
no,
on.
No, Saturn Award.
It was a Saturn Award.
Oh, it was a Saturn Award.
Yeah.
So then, you know, they mentioned
all this
stuff.
Give that shit away.
And
sorry.
So the director goes, I want to return to the Roanoke house. But this time I want to bring back the two people or the three people that were there, Lee and then the husband.
The haunted,
and wife.
The people who were haunted. And bring back the cast
the
who
cast
played them.
The cast who played them, put them in the house together during the blood moon. which is when all the fucked up shit.
Who the fuck would agree to that?
Well, the people
after what they went through.
Because, the people who lived it. The actors agreed to it just because they got paid, probably. But the people who actually lived there, Lee wanted to set the record straight because she is still framed for murdering her her ex husband.
Like everybody's pissed that she never got arrested or faced any charges. Yeah.
Okay. Her brother Matt. We don't know why he's back. We don't know why he's back yet. They haven't actually said so.
But
the wife, Shelby, is back because she and Matt divorced.
Well, no, they're separated. They're not divorced.
Okay, so they separated, but the actor who played Matt, she had an affair with the actor who played Matt. So Cuba Gooding Jr.
Yeah.
And then
she wants to set the record straight. That's why she's
my
there.
My favorite part of this episode, though, was Kathy Bates.
Yes. Is it really Kathy?
Oh, it's Kathy. Well, it's not Kathy Bates, but it's whatever actress. So they sit down with the actress and they talk to her about what happened. And she's like, thank you so much.
She plays the butcher, by the way.
No. Yeah. I know who Kathy Bates is.
She knows who Kathy Bates is.
I've seen about Schmidt and her naked body.
That's scary. When was the last episode?
Oh, God,
you
that's terrifying.
So. Four.
Oh, so you're right behind us.
Yeah. So they talk to her and she's like, this is one of the greatest like cinematic like roles of all time. It's like,
okay.
She plays it up. And then the director's like, can you please tell me about Hollywood or whatever? She's like, I don't know what you're talking about. And then there's footage of her basically on like
Hollywood Boulevard.
Dressed as the butcher, going, "This is my land. Get off my land!" Like flipping out with a real butcher. And she ended up getting arrested and hospitalized, and now she's on meds, basically to keep everything controlled.
She went too far into the role, and it caused her to go crazy.
So the actual movie that we saw,
it was a TV.
So these are the actual actors that were in it.
Yes.
It technically didn't happen because it actually happened to the people who were in the
cutaways. Yeah, because they needed an actor for the butcher and for the twins who did murder. Yeah. They did murder, by the way.
Yes.
They finished off the murder.
They did.
Since they're all back in the house during the blood moon, the ghosts are now killing these people.
One of the guys' names was Rory.
And they finished the murder. They saw it on the wall. It said murder.
Yeah.
And
then, good for them.
Matt's like, Rory. Rory is the R. And then they're like, what the... And then that's the end of like the episode.
No, they didn't even do that. They just said Rory is the R. And then everybody just looked at him. And that was it. They just cut it. And
well, he saw it. No, he...
Yeah, well, he filmed it on the wall, yeah.
It's not Rory Pond, right?
No.
Oh, okay.
It's Evan Peters' character.
But it looks... Okay, so one of the director's assistants got really pissed, and she was on the scene of the house, and then she drove away freaking out, and she videotaped herself, because it was an accidental death. And it was caught on camera, and it looked like...
The chopped his head off with a chainsaw.
Yeah, it looked like somebody took a chainsaw and put it up in his head. A ghost did that.
Like, and then like hits a knot, and he's like... just cuts his head off.
It looked like it was swung up. It looked like it was swung up, but somebody swung it up and sawed his head off. But
that was a cool scene,
freaking out, because the director wanted to keep going and setting everything up. But she said, no, something's going on. I'm not going to be a part of this. And she was videotaping her testimonial because, you know, it could be used in a lawsuit or whatever. Yeah. And then all of a sudden she stops on a road. She's driving away. She stops on her road, turns it. And then there's this like weird 1600s girl.
It's like a silhouette.
Silhouette. It was a human body, but it was a ghost, obviously.
You didn't really see much. It was like dark.
Yeah.
But she's like, I don't know who the hell that is, but I don't like. And then flips it around, goes, and then the pig guy.
The pig head turns around. Yeah. And then the car crashes, and then there's a black screen in this sentence written on it says, what's her face was never found until 6 months after the show. This footage was found with it. Uh-huh. And then that was it. So like, it is found footage, and they kind of piece it together. It's very so far.
Yeah,
I like the way they're going.
I was afraid at first, but I'm very happy. Like I thought, like the camera crew was going to go there, so lots of shaky cams.
I'm sure it will at some point.
Yeah, well, because so everybody in the house is given a cell phone that has basically been taken down, so there's no service, but you can use it as a camera.
Why would you get rid of the service?
Well, because they want everybody to film stuff, because the plan was if nothing happened, they were going to stage stuff. So like when they left Kathy Bates' character, she went full butcher mode and she was like talking with that accent and everything and like flipping out on him. And
give me the accent.
And the
that's terrible.
The assistant was like, she was like, aren't you afraid that she's going to come on set and do something? And he goes, no, I'm hoping for it. So he wants like he stuff wants to drama. Happen. Yeah. He wants drama because he wants reality.
And he set it up. He set up the scare. Some of the scares in the house.
Yeah.
But the scares we're seeing are not part of what he did so far.
This show sounds like it's a bizarro version of what they wanted to do for the last season of The Office, where like it becomes like not self-aware, but you like they randomly start introducing. You guys ever see that?
The last season I of never The Office
or know what happened? So they start like introducing the crew. Like they start peeling back the fourth wall, as they say.
Okay, so they're filming like the camera crews.
Right, and then the show ends and then other stuff happens. I don't know. I watched very little of it, but it just seemed fucking dumb. No. But this is kind of an engine.
This one's pretty good.
I recommend this.
I catch up a couple episodes.
It seems like it's getting like insane.
It's getting
it's picking up speed.
I feel like it's going to go a lot quicker than the first half, I guess.
Well, everything was set up.
Yeah.
And here's the thing, like the hillbillies
now,
are out there.
Yeah, now we know the characters and now we know the players, so that way you can just go.
Yeah.
And that will be that's going to be interesting.
I'm excited for this season.
That's going to be interesting.
Like I said, The Asylum's my favorite. This might be a very close number 2.
So far
I've enjoyed this one.
I still need to watch the other ones. So we'll get a list at some point, but tonight is the new episode. So,
I'm excited.
I know I got 10 o'clock. All set. All right, so that does it for American Horror Story. One thing in the news that happened.
Oh God!
I'm so excited about this. My wife is not. Kate Beckinsale is her husband is filing for divorce, and she will be at Rhode Island Comic Con. Not to go all creeper, but
what are you gonna say? What are you gonna? You gonna?
Do you have the baby names picked out?
I'm working on my speech.
Yeah, like the elevator pitches of elevator pitches right here.
I need to work on.
We gotta bring the GoPro or like at least hook them up with a wireless mic so it's. Hi, Kate. How's it going?
Jesus.
Hey, when your voice cracks,
it be more worrying if your wife was all aboard on this?
She said at this point,
she's like,
I don't care.
Yeah, do it.
She last night or the night before, she goes, at this point, I don't care.
You've broken her.
Well, you've been together forever, so at this point, it's just
that's
cheaper.
A stamp of approval right there.
Yeah. All right, so that's a funny note. That was the big thing that happened in the news, at least in my eyes. Another thing that happened, I finally watched The Martian. And you guys liked the movie, right?
Yep.
Yeah. You guys liked it? It was, my thoughts, it was a solid movie. The science looked real.
Oh, yeah, the science was...
The science.
Yeah, it didn't seem like there was anything crazy.
There is only one thing, and like I remember hearing about an interview with the author of the book. He said there's only one thing in it that's not scientifically accurate, and it's the setup to the whole movie. It's the sandstorm. No sandstorm on Mars could ever have the kind of force to throw people around and stuff around. Because of the gravity and the
atmosphere, right?
The atmosphere as well is too light.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It, like a sandstorm on Mars is like a light breeze on Earth.
The whole premise of the movie was...
Yeah, that's the only thing that's scientifically...
The whole movie's a lie.
Well, aside from that, I mean, everything else was... It looked very accurate.
Yeah, everything's really accurate.
Fucking Sam deGrasse Tyson over here shitting on a major motion picture.
The author said that. He's like, I just needed a reason for him to get stranded on Mars, and that was the only thing I could think of.
The idea of growing vegetables
you could do that.
Rain and creating water with the hydrogen fuel and all that.
You could do that.
That's
in the poop. Yeah.
See, that was pretty neat. I liked it. I thought that was good.
Yeah.
And then just the shots, like the scenery and shots. That's a pretty great
movie. That's a
yeah,
movie.
Yeah, it was. Ridley so Scott did a nice job with that.
It's a pretty movie.
It's like I describe it as it's a cross between Castaway and Apollo 13.
Yeah, that's a good
cross. Yes, yes. And
both Tom Hanks movies.
Jeff Daniels a lot. I liked Sean Bean a lot.
Didn't die.
Wow.
Sean Bean.
Yeah, he didn't die.
I was expecting him to be on that that shuttle that blows up. I should have done that just to keep it going. But
the ending was interesting. I thought it was a little far-fetched. But
with the hand thing?
With the hand thing, with the riding into space with a convertible.
I mean, it would work, but it's just one of those.
Going into space in a convertible.
So I haven't I haven't seen the movie, but when you say the hand thing and Mars, my mind goes Total Recall.
No, he's flying through space and then he uses his hand as a propulsion. He
punctures his hand so that the air flowing out.
Yeah, the air pressure works as a propulsion.
But that was so. I mean, it was.
I did also like the comedy in that. There was some.
Okay, so here's the thing. This is what I don't get. Why the hell was it nominated for a comedy?
Yeah, so it was nominated as a comedy.
Yeah, yeah.
There was not
enough in there.
It was total bullshit.
Granted, all the funny parts gave me a chuckle.
Yeah.
It didn't make me laugh ridiculously.
I like the line where he tries to he's like going through everything, justifying why he's now the first ever space pirate.
Yeah.
Where he's like tearing out, he's like, technically, this isn't mine. I'm technically stealing it. So if you think about it, I'm the universe's first ever space pirate.
And it's funny how he's like eating the potatoes. He's like, I'm just going to put some Vicodin on my potatoes.
I ran out of ketchup.
And I ran out of ketchup 5 days ago. Yeah. All right. That gave me a chuckle. But it was a visually stunning movie. It was a good movie. It was definitely Oscar bait.
I wouldn't say that.
It's not Oscar bait.
It was, but it wasn't. It was one of those movies.
Maybe
on
the reason why it was nominated as a comedy because it had no way of beating Mad Max.
No, it just
did as a sci-fi action.
There
or
is
whatever.
No category. No, it's just it's only comedy or drama.
I don't
people,
care.
People who
want to
view good movies, like, people who watch good movies don't understand what a comedy movie is because they don't watch comedies. If they watch good movies, they're typically not comedies.
Well,
because
all the comedies that are usually nominated are dramas that have some comedy in it.
And that's ridiculous.
Well, yeah.
I think that's
it
ridiculous.
All comes down to how much money you give to the Academy.
I know.
Like,
the Golden Globes, which is like literally 17 people in the Hollywood Foreign Press. Like, that's why, like, Brie Larson goes up there and is like, oh, it's been a pleasure meeting with you all when she got a room she got an award for Room. And everyone there laughed because it's totally true. It's like 15 people you got to talk to. I don't know why they're a big award.
Yeah.
Probably just because there's people getting drunk there and they're like, oh, okay.
And another thing I found utterly ridiculous, and I kind of wish this was not true, but Jeff Daniels, as he's talking about like getting financing and money, it's like it's coming off trees and it's a government organization, and that's not the case. I don't think Obama cut the budget, I think, for NASA and stuff. It's just weird that he's saying, oh, well, these Ares missions for the next 20 years are set up and we have, oh, well, $10 billion there. Oh, it's no big deal. You know, he made it seem like money was not an issue. And in reality,
this is pretty much like a NASA's fan's wet dream.
Oh, absolutely.
That's what this movie basically
NASA's is. NASA's got the budget.
Yeah. NASA's got a budget. Yeah. Did you see NASA's headquarters?
It wasn't three guys
China,
in a shed.
China comes in and saves the day with their rocket.
Yeah, I love how they're just shoehorn China into this movie. Like, hey, well, we're going to release it in China, so let's get something going there.
They're the real heroes.
So, and I don't
and
think...
get ready for Matt Damon fighting lizards.
I don't think Times Square TVs and network TVs would ever be allowed access to the audio for life-saving mission for an astronaut. What if it goes horribly wrong?
Yeah.
I don't think Times Square will be
No, they are
that.
Actually allowed.
Are
like,
they?
Yeah. The moon landings. They had live
That
feeds.
Was in the 70s. This is
now, you know, now, Sam.
69. Yeah, but I don't know why. I would think now you'd have more access.
Yeah, you'd have more access now.
I don't know.
I can't think of the name of the character or the actor, But the guy who is macking on Kate Mara there. Did you think he was gonna die?
Oh, Winter Soldier?
Yeah. Oh shit, yeah, him. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought he wasn't gonna make it.
Yeah.
They really set it up like
so he survives.
Yeah, he survives.
Damn, because I kinda want him to die and be like, no, in Martian 2 he comes back with a fake arm.
Sebastian Stan.
Oh
yeah.
God.
If anything, they kind of hinted that, all right, well, he's kind of bowing out, you know, gracefully. But it is what it is. Solid movie.
Apparently in the book, like, Kate Mara and him, their characters.
No, they do in the movie.
No, but, like, it's graphically. Goes more in detail of their, like,
explicitly.
Oh, they have
romance.
I was going to say, they have a kid at the end of the movie.
Yeah, no.
Okay.
It's alluded to, but, like, there's apparently more of it in the book.
Oh, 50 Shades of Mars.
Yeah.
All right. But, yeah, so that does it for The Martian. It was a movie that's big, and I finally saw it and just had some thoughts on it. Nice. All right, so now we have a list. Woo. With Sean.
Insert music here. We have music.
Do we?
Well, yeah.
I like it, John.
Well, what other list song would you go with?
I don't know.
I wish I could just loop this beginning.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so the list. Sorry, I'm enjoying Hall & Oates, which actually reminds me. I watched Yacht Rock again recently, so.
Yeah, the biggest recommendation to the short-lived internet series Yacht Rock.
Oh, man.
Which maybe is its own Knights of Nerditude podcast one day, but.
I'm out on that one.
No, it's good. It's funny. Anyways. So the list this week. So because we are at the end of October, we've been doing our Scarathon all month long. All these 31 movies that are on this list. Obviously, each one of us had a handful of movies we wanted on this list that ended up not making it. And so I wanted us to share with you guys our recommendations for, like, what we felt should have been on there. I'm not saying what are we going to take off. I'm saying, like, what are you bummed about that was taken, that didn't make it? So, Sam, I'm going to start with you.
Me? Well, the first one, I think you guys can say it, since I was...
Can I say, shut the fuck up, Sam?
No. but it's the Cabinet of Dr. Calahari.
Shut the fuck up, Sam.
I kept pleading for this one.
It's literally for like 2 hours. Hey guys, you know that one? No, Sam.
I thought it would, like, it's a good, like, you know, just change up in there because it's a silent movie from the 20s. It's,
oh, hey, look at me. I'm a movie guy. I'm watching some movies. You guys want to see movies?
I love when that
sorry.
The night that
shit.
That we had to come up with, like, the rest of the movies for this list. I remember, Chris, you left early, so it was us three in the basement. We're like, let's go on Netflix, look at horror movies, and we'll find one. And it was on there, and Sam's like, ugh. I'm like, shut the fuck up, Sam!
Damn right. I mean, come on, it's a silent movie, and silent movies are always creepy.
That's true.
And it's German.
Yeah, no.
Come on!
So they'd be like
a
saying
German
nice things.
German silent movie.
Yeah. Oh, I want to take in the magic of cinema.
All right, move on to...
But I recommend it. God, I won't. Sam. I will talk about it. Fine. People were mentioning. John was mentioning just putting down Twilight Zone episodes. So I put down one of my favorites, The Howling Man.
Oh,
that is
yeah.
such a good one.
That's a good one. Where
don't spoil it.
I won't
Sam.
Spoil it. I won't spoil
no,
it.
If you are unaware of what the Twilight Zone is with Rod Serling,
hell.
Yeah, seriously, yeah. You gotta watch it. It's on Netflix
yeah.
still. Not the hour-long ones, but all the half-hour ones are. And honestly, it's one of those shows where, like, if you think, like, early M. Night Shyamalan Ding Dong, like, his movies had good twists at the end, watch The Twilight Zone. Granted, it's in black and white. But the twists at the end of, like, every episode, like, out of left field, like, every time. And yes, The Howling Man is definitely a good one.
That's a good one.
Howling Man one that, like, very much is, like, reminds me of my dreams of, like, oh, fuck. Like, I don't know how, but I just made it so much worse.
This is This is just scary because of what it is. Not just the movie, but what it is. Manos, the Hands of Fate.
Okay. Although I've probably seen it probably more than all you guys combined.
Probably like one more time.
I don't think I've seen this.
You don't want to. I own it. It's okay. Terrible. It's 65 minutes long, but it feels like a week goes by when you watch it.
Oh, I'm not going to sit through that.
No, it's worth watching because... So everybody has their own opinion on what the worst movie ever made is. Manos, the Hands of Fate is by far the worst movie ever made. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about this. Plan 9 from Outer Space is like enjoyable to sit down and watch. Like MST, Mystery Science Theater 3000, they riffed it, and even they had a hard time getting through it. That's how bad it is.
Wait, hold on a second. They had an episode of that.
Yes.
Yes.
Torgo. You know what? I probably saw it then. Through MST3K.
I've seen it without their commentary several times. It's one of those things where it's like, yeah, I'm the best because I watched it, but in like the back of your mind, you're like, why did I do that?
I'm a little bit more dead inside.
I just want to cry.
But speaking of Howling Man and Manos the Hands of Fate, we have to do that once.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, we won't talk about that. It's a secret plan. Everybody likes a podcast where we just don't talk about what... You don't concern yourself with that.
No, it's all inside jokes.
Oh, yeah. And the last one, I had to think of a fourth one, so fuck it. Day of the Triffids.
Yes! Yes! I'm so glad you...
If you ever thought a comet could blind people and... then it would make all the plants of the world kill people. This is the movie for you.
Walking trees. Sounds like that happening. People. No, it's better.
Somehow it's better.
Oh, it's better.
That's more of a comment on the happening than it is.
Yeah.
The day.
So fair I'm going to go to John now for John's list.
All right. So my first one here is a glaring error by our list. And I think I already mentioned it once, so I won't spend a lot of time on it. But it's a little movie I call Jaws. Ever heard of it? About a shark in some water.
No.
It's only, you know, we're obviously not the only ones doing these lists.
Does it have something to do with a mouth?
No. This time of year.
It's on everybody's list. It's about a dentist, Sam.
And it's on everyone's list except ours. And because it's a summer movie. It's not really scary. It's no Halloween Town.
No, it was a scary movie for people watching it in the early years.
No, we all agree that this is probably one of the best horror movies of all time.
It's the highest grossing horror movie of all time.
Just because it made money doesn't mean it's good.
No, but it's the highest grossing movie.
Batman v Superman. Do we have to go there?
No,
it made money. Anyways, we're not denying that Jaws was an excellent horror movie. It's just we all felt that with the movies on here, it just didn't fit because it was all of these are basically like supernatural or like sci-fi kind of thing, whereas Jaws is kind of based on true story.
Very loosely.
Very loosely.
Very, very
about loosely. A great white shark from Jersey.
The whole time it's just going, hey,
hey, hey, kids, what you doing in my water?
Some meatball.
Do you know amity means friendship? I just think it's a great movie. Like just in general.
No,
it's a timeless movie.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's great. Really it's great.
Shame it wasn't on our list. And that's literally all the movies I know that are horror movies. The rest of them are on the board. So I thought probably just go through some other things I can throw up there. Mostly TV episodes. So first one I'm going to go with is Treehouse of Horror 5, which Treehouse of Horror being the Simpsons annual installment of a Halloween-themed episode. This one's pretty good, guys. Like, compared to some of the other ones. This has The Shining, which is, you might guess, is a ripoff of The Shining, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
Then there is, I forget what it's actually called, but it's this time travel one where Homer keeps going back in time and changing one little thing, like stepping on a cockroach, like in back of the, you know, time of the dinosaurs, and everything comes out completely different. And then, which that one's great. Yep. And then there's the last one is, the faculty and the teachers at the school are like eating the children just because, yeah, sure, why not?
But the end of that one, too, is like, it's so great where it's all a dream. And
wait, is it?
Barts? Yeah, he wakes up and he's like, oh, it was all a dream. They're like, of course it is. The only thing to be afraid of is that gas that turns people inside out.
Nice.
And then the gas comes and there's the whole musical number.
Right. Well, isn't it? It's the
it's chorus line, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a different one from
the Snoopy one?
Yeah.
That's the one with the vampires.
Yeah.
Where everybody's a vampire.
In Pennsylvania.
All right. Moving on. Guys, I don't know if you've heard about this show, even though we literally just had this conversation off air, but it's called Black Mirror. New season out right now on Netflix, which Netflix produced it. This is originally like a British show, like, and we've been talking about it's an anthology show, so it's like each episode's a different thing. Very much like the Twilight Zone, but sort of updated and geared towards our world and how, you know, our reliance on technology and all that stuff. So that's sort of a more modern take on that. And I should have had the episode name, but the second episode of the first season is about this world where people like go on bikes all day and like rack up points for like exercising and stuff like that. And
Pokemon Go.
Yeah.
Kind of, yeah.
And essentially like they spend their points on, I don't know. It's a really like fucked up show. It's solid though. You should check it out. I'm not giving it the best, the best rec here.
There's bikes.
But really points, go check go. It out. It's
Black
solid.
Black Mirror.
Okay.
And then I'm going to throw out a Twilight Zone episode 2. I'm going to say Time Enough at Last, which has to me one of the more classic endings too, which is essentially about a man who loves to read, doesn't want to do anything else besides read. Everyone chastises him for reading. It's even a little funny because of how fucking dumb it is of like his wife like just scratches, like has a book and just like writes all over it and like scratches it out, and it's a little much, a little on the nose, but hey, guys, it's the 60s.
people doing crazy things.
Yeah, 60s. So that's my four.
All right. Chris, I'm interested in Chris.
I have four, but you mentioned it, The Faculty. Right? The honorable mention for that list, you know, Jordan Brewster, Elijah Wood.
John Stewart.
Yep, John Stewart. Yeah, that's right, John Stewart.
Really? Wow.
No, yeah. But it was. I think it's a little underrated, The Faculty.
I agree with that. Is. Yeah,
but that's an honorable mention. It's not one of my top four, though. So my top four, I want to put on here. Coincidentally enough, today's recommended movie is Texas Chainsaw Massacre, 1974. I would say I would want the remake, the 2003 version with Jessica Biel, on here as well. That was just a phenomenal remake. That reboot.
Yeah.
Oh no. Well, no, it was a reboot. It was a remake because they don't follow the same stories for the one and two.
Right.
So I guess it's a remake. But I think it's one of the more phenomenal remakes of any horror movie that was out there. And then my second one that I want on here is another remake, 2006's Hills Have Eyes. So much better than the first one in 1977. That is another one. Hills Have Eyes is the first one, not the second one.
That is actually based on a true story.
Yes.
Believe it or not, about a couple cannibalistic family from Scotland.
Yes.
I believe.
Yes. There's a lot of, you have to understand, every horror movie has some form of truth to it, aside from the sci-fi fantasy.
People have been killed.
You know,
exactly.
Like the Texas Chainsaw Massacre is based off of a few murderers.
It's not as true as they say in the opening.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's based off of
you know, that type of slasher stuff is based off of that stuff.
But some guy was once named Jason.
Hills Have Eyes. I think the remake, the 2006 one, should be on there. Another one that you guys are gonna laugh at is Dog Soldiers. Sci-fi channel original movie. Is this Sci-fi Channel original? I think it was.
I don't know.
I think it was, but it was Dog Soldiers. A military unit gets lost in the woods and is attacked by dogs. Werewolf looking things that are soldiers who turn into
dogs.
How
did they get the name?
Yep.
I know, right?
It's a cheesy movie, but it's one of those weird, it's filmed very dark and
like all of them.
Yeah, but it's not. It's
hey,
nice.
Do we have a budget for these creatures? No, we'll just film everything dark.
But the thing was, the budget, there was not CGI. It wasn't a lot.
It's practical.
At all. It was all they practical effects. Just glued effects.
Stuff on dogs.
No, it was like the alien. You know, you just slap like mayonnaise and water on it and then just drool. You know, yeah. It was, I think it was pretty solid.
Damn, dude, you're bringing up a lot of Oscar bait tonight.
Yep. And then my my last one is a more of a comedy, but it's also a horror movie. Army of Darkness.
Yeah.
We didn't put that on there, but
even the Evil Dead we did not put on there.
I wouldn't even put Evil Dead. I think Army of Darkness pretty much takes it all.
Well, for those unfamiliar on what the hell the Army of Darkness is, if you've been watching Ash versus the Army of Darkness right
Evil
now.
Dead.
Ash the Evil Dead. It's the third one in that series of movies. Oh, sorry, fourth one. No. There's three Evil Deads and then Army of Darkness.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah.
And so all of them follow Ash and basically get goofier and goofier and goofier. And then Army of Darkness, it's like he's transported back to medieval England and fights an army.
With a, I forgot what car it was.
Oh, God, yeah.
Isn't it like a Pontiac or something?
Yeah,
some like weird. Shit box.
Yeah, shotgun. Car.
He's got his boomstick, which is his shotgun, and his chainsaw, and it's... It's
the
such,
battle at the end with the skeletons are coming out from
it's
the grave.
It's so great.
So cheesy, but I think it should be on
it. It's got such a cult following. I'm one of the fans of this. I own the Screwhead edition downstairs. I love this movie. The wife, not so much because she doesn't understand what's happening. And I'm like, don't worry about it. It's funny.
With those movies, all of four of those movies, you need to take it as like, all right, well, you know, 10 minutes, my mind's going to change. And
yeah. So I agree with Army of Darkness. Maybe not this list, but at least the Evil Dead. I do agree with that. I'm very surprised that there is no Evil Dead on this at all.
Speaking of surprised that they aren't on, I just realized this now. We don't have Amityville on there.
Yeah, I know.
I didn't like any of them.
I'm not a fan of any of them either.
Yeah, but it's kind of a classic
movie. Yeah, I guess.
Very solid attempt by Ryan Reynolds to kind of bring back the Amityville, but it's still subpar.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I guess it's mine. Here's a couple things. So you guys went on TV episodes, so I want to just dip on that real quick. First of all, Treehouse of Horror 1, all you have to say is The Raven, and that's the best one.
That was phenomenal episode.
With James Earl Jones narrating The Raven. Amazing. Amazing.
That really captures the freakiness of that poem.
Exactly. Like, and with the comedy from The Simpsons, too, mixed in.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's such a perfect... So, like, the original Treehouse of Horror is one of my favorite. But one that I'm very surprised that, you know, were the Knights of Nerditude nobody brought up. There is one episode of this little-known British sci-fi show called Doctor Who.
Science fiction. It's not horror.
Blink.
Just like jazz. Jaws.
No.
Just Blink. Like jazz.
Yeah. Jazz hands. Oh.
Jazz is not horror, baby.
Jazz is such a different movie from the one I've been talking about.
Blink.
It's just jazz. I'm sorry. Go on. Sorry.
But the episode is called Blink. And if you've never seen Doctor Who, you can get ready. John is geeking out right now with jazz.
Jazz. It's just like... You just slow, like, I mean, you get the whole, like, dunna, dunna, but it's instead, it's like a guy, like, scatting, like, but Blink is amazing.
Yeah, Blink for that show, it's all sci-fi, but that is more of a horror episode, and you don't really have to know who the Doctor is or any of the past, like, backstory of the Doctor. You can watch that. It's a standalone episode.
You also get
episode.
Timey-wimey from that.
Timey-wimey, yes. Wibbly wobbly timey wimey.
You know what we also don't have?
What?
You brought up TV shows. The X-Files.
Yeah, zero X-Files. Home is the one that stands out.
Is that the one with the monsters in the woods that like take you?
No, that's one of Sam's.
What was that?
Ones.
Oh, the one. I watched
monsters in the woods. Conquistadors.
They're conquistadors from Ponce de Leon's thing, and they like learn stuff from the natives that allow them. They're like ancestors. To like blend into the forest with their skin.
Yeah, that was a creepy episode.
Just like that one scene where like they're finally out of the forest and like somebody leaves their like hotel room, and like they zoom down under the bed and it's just black. Yeah. All of a sudden you just see two eyes open up. And you're just like shit.
Yeah.
No, there's so many episodes of the X-Files that you can mention. Home is the one that comes to mention. That's the one that was banned from TV about the hillbillies.
That one's on. Netflix.
Yeah, it is, but it was it was banned from television for a while.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah.
It aired
still is.
Once.
I think it still is.
It might be.
Why does it seem like there isn't a single show or whatever that's ever been banned that like you look at after 10 years and you're like, why the fuck was this banned?
That one I understand.
It was.
Oh, okay.
Why I think it was baby
killing. Lots and lots of incest and baby killing.
I think it was the timing of the release of the episode.
Baby
though.
Killing.
I think it was one of those episodes where it was the timing of the release of the episode. Something happened.
No, it literally, it's about baby killing and
no,
incest.
I know, but I think something happened in the real world at the time that that episode was supposed to be released.
I don't. They show some guy getting decapitated on that show too.
Yeah, I know. But like, that's why I think there was some timing.
But anyways, so on with my list of movies. First of all, going off of Sam's book of German silent movies, I went with Nosferatu, the original vampire movie. It's freaky enough you watch it. It is so freaky. Just his silhouette, like. Oh my God, he's creepy.
If you watch it nowadays.
No, I still watch it. It gives me chills.
No. If somebody's watching it for the first time, it probably won't get the same fear factor as others.
Well, not fear, but it's going to give you chills. Like the way Nosferatu is depicted, it's very freaky. Next one, Night of the Living Dead, the original. Very surprised we didn't include that.
We didn't because
we had Dawn of the Dead.
Dawn of the Dead was so much better.
Uh-huh. But I had to throw that in my list. I went with John Carpenter's The Thing.
That's one from the 80s.
We did not put that on this list, which I had to take like several takes and be like, wow, we didn't? And I don't know how we missed that because that is such a great horror sci-fi. Now, Sam, I know you've seen The Thing from Another World.
Yeah.
It's kind of, it's loosely based on that. Basically, don't think of it as a remake of that movie. Just think it's a loose adaptation. Next one. I have two more. Cabin in the Woods.
Wait, we didn't have that?
We did not have Cabin in the Woods.
Oh, that's
okay. It wasn't that good.
No, it was.
In your opinion.
Yeah, and
we have Halloween else's. Town on here.
That's valid.
Yeah, well. That's valid. Well, because we brought up Cabin in the Woods, and most of you guys haven't seen it, so you didn't have an opinion on it. So.
Wasn't that good.
And anyways. And then the last one that I'm going with, because if you look at this list, there's not many werewolf movies. So
Dog Soldiers.
Teen
Wolf, Teen Wolf, Teen Wolf.
An American Werewolf in London.
Oh my God.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Frank Oz is in it.
Frank Oz directed that.
Yeah. I know, but he's in it for a little bit.
Isn't he a part of like the Peep Show or something?
No, he's the, psychiatrist or no, the American, diplomat or whatever like comes in and talking to him. But great movie. All like that one I'm very surprised we also did not have on this list.
So not Teen Wolf.
I'm surprised you didn't go with the movie Werewolf.
Werewolf?
Or Wolfman.
Which is another great.
The Wolfman was not very good.
Yeah. The one with Anthony Hopkins. Benicio del Toro movie I can stand.
That's just okay. We're moving
but,
on.
But yeah, so I like we had some good there's plenty of TV shows out there that you can think of a good horror like episode. I feel like any long running show always has that horror episode, even if it's not like X-Files where every single one is monster. You know, every once in a while there's a monster of the
Buffy
week.
Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yeah, like you're going to be able to find one. But it's the interesting ones like The Simpsons where early on at least where they did that one and it's stuck and it's good.
I want to watch The Raven.
I know, Simpsons, right? It's season two. Right now. Season two, FX Go or not? That's HBO Go.
FX Now.
FX Now. You can find it on there.
FXX is like just playing.
Yeah.
Simpsons.
So maybe I'll see that.
Yeah, I have it downstairs. That's how I watch American Horror Story. So.
Oh. All right. Yeah. That does it. For yours?
That's it. I think we all came up with some good ones there.
So what's your...
Especially that jazz movie.
We might cut that out of the podcast. That's a great idea. I'm going to try to get something to that. Get something back to you guys on that script.
Okay.
For a treatment, maybe.
Okay.
All right. So that does it for us for this week. So if you have a list of movies that should be on our list, you can send us an email at knightsofnerditude@gmail.com. You might as well just post it all to Facebook, facebook.com/knightsofnerditude. You can follow us on Twitter at K1 Podcast. And you can find all of our episodes online on iTunes, Podbean, and Stitcher.
Yep.
We're on Stitcher now. Okay, so next week we'll do S.H.I.E.L.D., American Horror Story, Westworld, and we will probably do an Inferno review.
Doctor Strange coming too.
That's, woo, what, 2 weeks?
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Oh, boy.
Then Arrival, yay, after that.
Yeah. Yeah. Good movies. And until next time.
Adios.
Bye.
Good night.